Shadasi Bhutatma Bhutanam Bhutat Bhavana Na Alam Pasyanti Bhutani Pasyantam Mohitani Te Te Gurus Charasi Bhutatma Bhutanam Bhuta Bhavana Natvam Pasyanti Bhutani Pasyanta Mohitani Te Guda, hidden. Charasi, you are engaged. Bhuta Atma, Super Soul, Bhutanam, of the living entities, Bhuta Bhavana, O maintainer of all living beings, Na, not, Tvam, you, Pasyanti, they see, Bhutani, living entities, Pasyantam, who are seeing, Mohitani, bewildered, te, by you. Translation, O my Lord, maintainer of all, although you are the supersoul of all living entities, you remain hidden. Thus being bewildered by you, the living entities cannot see you, although you are seeing them. Purport, the Lord exists as a supersoul within everything. He always appears in various incarnations or sometimes in powers of devotees to act as an incarnation. All such forms of the Lord are unknown to the non-devotees. The bewildered, conditioned souls think that the Supreme Enjoyer, Sri Krishna, is actually meant to be enjoyed by them for their sense gratification. Praying to God for specific material benedictions and assuming God's creation to be their personal property, the non-devotees cannot understand the actual form of the Lord. They therefore remain foolish and bewildered. Within the universe, everything is subject to creation, maintenance, and destruction, and thus the Supersoul is the only actual controller in the material world. Unfortunately, when the Supersoul appears in various incarnations to clarify its position, ignorant persons think that the Supersoul is merely another creation of the modes of material nature. As stated in this verse, they cannot see that person who is actually seeing them and simply remain bewildered. Translation, O my Lord, maintainer of all, although you are the Supersoul of the living entities, you remain hidden. Thus being bewildered by you, the living entities cannot see you, although you are seeing them. So here the point is that God pervades everywhere, and therefore we cannot accuse him of not being observant or caring for us. But at the same time, we can't see him. So though God has all wonderful qualities, and by that he maintains all living entities, the normal living entity does not appreciate that because he cannot see the Lord. So the question we can ask is, why does the Lord remain hidden? Because if he was visible, then everyone would appreciate him and worship him nicely. So why does he have to hide himself like this? This is a common question. If God is visible to us, then we'll believe in him, and you should prove God by showing him to me. People will often say this, well, if God is there, then you show God, then we'll believe. This is some sort of test to prove God. And that question will come up quite often in the material world. If God is there, why isn't he visible to us? Why doesn't he appear before us? Why doesn't he prove himself to us? And we'll see in the Vedic scriptures words like this, like Guda. The Lord is secret, or rahasya. This knowledge is secret. It is recognized in the Vedic literature that not everyone can see God. And in fact, God will purposely, on purpose, hide himself from the living entities. He will not be visible to them. So it's not that he can't do that. He can, but actually he prefers not to. This, of course, operates on several levels. The basic level, of course, in the material world is that people are not qualified to see God, therefore that's why they cannot see him. In that sense, he is hidden. And that's the sense taken here, that because people don't have spiritual vision, therefore they can't see God. Even though God is present within them, they're not aware of it. It's not because God's fault. It's just that we're not, we don't have the vision to see that. And of course we cannot blame God for that. We can try to blame God. Well, God is inside us. Why doesn't he speak up and say, here I am, or whatever. So we can't blame God for that also. Because we can say that it is very difficult to, you know, wake up an ignorant person. You can show yourself to an ignorant person, still he will not believe. So therefore in the material world, God is there, and if one is sincere, then he will appreciate the presence of God. But if he's in ignorance or bewildered, as is said here, mohitani, then no matter how much God insists that he's there, the living entity will ignore him. And the reason for this, of course, is the living entity is bewildered by the desire to enjoy in the material world. So therefore, no matter how much the Lord tries to reveal himself to that particular entity, living entity will not see, because he's thinking in terms of his own enjoyment in this material world. So that is why the Lord remains hidden in that sense. On the higher level, of course, it's not so much that the jivas are ignorant, but the Lord prefers to hide aspects of himself, even if a person may be highly spiritually qualified. For instance, if a person is interested or is qualified for at least liberation, and that means impersonal liberation, the Lord will hide himself from those persons also. He will not reveal this form to those persons either. Or, if a person worships Vishnu and goes to Vaikuntha, Krishna will not reveal himself to that person. He will hide himself from him also. So, on various levels, the Lord hides himself from the material world, from the materialists, because they're not qualified with sincerity or spiritual vision. And even from spiritual people, if they're not qualified, then he will hide different aspects of himself. So we see in the Bhagavatam and in Gaudiya philosophy, we have different aspects of God. We have Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And if you concentrate on one, you don't see the other. If you concentrate on Brahman, then you lose interest in Bhagavan. Or if you concentrate on Paramatma even, you lose your interest in Bhagavan. So, in that sense, the Lord is exclusive. And of all exclusive natures, Krishna is the most exclusive. He's the most hidden. He's the most secret of all. Why? Because he's also the highest. So this is one main point in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So he is the highest or the most perfect and complete manifestation of all of God's qualities. Yet he's also the most secret. He's not available to everybody. Because he's in that position, topmost position, therefore most people are not qualified for realizing Krishna. So that is why people may ask, well, why, you know, Krishna's the highest, why doesn't everybody worship him? It's because he is secret. And that becomes evident in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll see that the nature of Krishna is very confidential. And even in the Bhagavatam, that nature is made very confidential. And it's hidden in different ways. So if we look in the Bhagavatam, actually, at the beginning of the conversation between the sages, Naimisharanya and Suta Goswami, there, the sages are asking, okay, you tell us, you know, what is the highest truth and everything like that. And Suta Goswami said, yes, he explains that actually the whole point of Bhagavatam is to reveal the highest truth, which is Krishna. And he is the person we should worship, etc. Yet, when Sukadev speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not all about Krishna. We see so many different topics there. We'll see a whole discussion of Varnashram. We'll see a discussion of siddhis and yoga several times in the second canto and the 11th canto. Quite a detailed discussion of yoga and siddhis and all types of things like that, which we know aren't actually useless for spiritual life. And we'll have a whole discussion of jnana, particularly in the 11th canto, whole sections dedicated to jnana. And people may become a little bewildered. Where is Krishna in all this? Because we have karma yoga and jnana yoga and astanga yoga, and we have some bhakti somewhere also. So we've got everything there, even though in the beginning Sudha Goswami says, no, the idea of Veda Vyasa was to present Krishna and reject everything else. And yet again, we find everything else in the Bhagavatam. As we'll see in the Bhagavad Gita also. We get everything there also. Then finally, at the end, Krishna says, let's forget everything. But he goes through so many chapters explaining karma yoga and jnana yoga and astanga yoga, everything else, and says, forget it all at the end. So here in Bhagavatam, which is supposed to be the essence of all scriptures, again, we have everything. Varnashram and karma yoga and jnana yoga and astanga yoga mentioned. And then we got some bhakti also. And to make it more confusing, if we look at the 12th canto, when Sukadev stops speaking, and then sixth chapter of the 12th canto there, then Sukadev says to Parikshit, now you understood everything. And he's told him all these different subject matters, and the 10th canto is the all the leelas of Krishna. But then in the 11th canto, he switches and he goes back to karma yoga and astanga yoga and jnana yoga and everything like that. And then when he gets to the 12th canto, then he's in the last sentence, his last words are to, when he speaks to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva says, now you've understood everything. And the whole purpose is to merge into Brahman. That's the conclusion. And actually, if we read that, we'll be very shocked. Because it doesn't seem to be the conclusion according to what Sudha Goswami said in the beginning, and according to what we know, liberation and impersonal jnana is actually considered useless for the devotee. And yet at the end, Sukadeva says this, and he is the person who actually is considered to be more realized in Veda Vyas because he relished the pastimes of Krishna. And yet he's telling Parikshit Maharaj to merge in Brahman at the end of the Bhagavatam. What is this? So what is the explanation? And so the only explanation is that this is another way to hide the truth on purpose, done by Sukadev himself. He's hiding this. He's hiding the conclusion. Now, of course, intelligent, if we look at it, looks very contradictory to everything said in the Bhagavatam at the beginning, in the middle, and the end. So therefore, we can reject it as a real statement. So we have to understand it is a device used by Sukadeva Goswami to hide the conclusion of Bhagavatam from unqualified people. Why? Because, as I said, various levels of God are confidential. So we have Brahman as Guhya and Paramatma as Guhyatara, more secret, and then Bhagavan as Guhyatama. But then we have so many forms of God, Bhagavan, up, and then we get, you know, Matsya and Kurma and Narasimha and Rama, and we get Krishna. So among the forms of Bhagavan, which are most confidential, then we have Krishna as the most confidential. So Sukadeva Goswami realizes this, and therefore he says, we will not reveal the truth to the unqualified people, particularly the Jnanis. So let them believe the conclusion of Bhagavatam is jnana, and that jnana is higher than bhakti, and that impersonal Brahman is higher than the form of Krishna and his pastimes. Let them believe that. It's better for them. Let them not disturb us. So that is why he says this at the conclusion. Final conclusion is emergent of Brahman. So we see it as contradictory to everything else said in the Bhagavatam. Therefore, we know it's not a true statement. It's not a literal statement. So, in this way, Krishna is hidden. So not everything is explicit in scripture. And we have to realize that. In spite of the fact that, you know, Vedavyasa is supposed to write an explicit scripture for the people of Kali Yuga so they don't get confused. Still, there's always this idea of hiding things. So this is also mentioned in other places of the Bhagavatam, that Krishna himself says that the sages prefer not to speak directly. It's called parokshavad. They speak indirectly. So they don't say everything. Krishna's Supreme Personality, Godhead, processes bhakti, forget everything else. They don't say that. They say many other things also. So direct statements are not always made in scripture. So that's why we cannot simply literally take every word, in spite of the fact that we take, you know, direct interpretation over lakshana or indirect interpretation. Still, we do have to accept the fact that there may be contradictions, and therefore we cannot take all the words directly. So we have to study very carefully in order to get the right conclusion. So that is why we have things like Bhagavad Gita as it is. That is, we're taking the Acharya's meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. According to that, we are coming out with the meaning. And similarly with Bhagavatam. If we take literally the last statements, this is the conclusion, merge in Brahman, then we're going to be misled. So we have to very carefully go over everything. And the Acharyas have done that so that we don't get bewildered. So ultimately, the Bhagavatam is compared. Vishnu Chakravarti compares the Bhagavatam to Mohini Avatar. So Mohini Avatar was very famous because this is a female incarnation of God, and in this form, the Lord bewildered the demons. Why? Because the demons had the nectar. After they churned the ocean, then the demons stole the nectar, and they had all the nectar pot there, and so the devatas were lamenting. And therefore the Lord appeared as Mohini and bewildered the demons, and they gave the pot of nectar to Mohini out of bewilderment, and she gave the pot of nectar to the devatas. And then everything was finished. Devatas were deprived of the nectar. So Bhagavatam is compared to Mohini. In that, the nectar of the Bhagavatam, the real conclusion of Krishna and his pastimes as being the highest, is stolen from the demons and given to the devotees. So in other words, the devotees will taste the nectar of Bhagavatam and the impersonalists and the demons won't. So it is made in such a way to do that. So that is why we'll have verses at the end that says, Smirjan Brahman, that's the final conclusion. That is to take the nectar from the demons, hide it from them, and give it to the devotees. So, these devices are used in Bhagavatam in order to protect the message from unqualified people. Just as we have the Vedas. The Vedas are not available to Sudras or outcasts. Why? Because they're not qualified. So similarly, the Bhagavatam also, not in terms of Varna, but in terms of devotion. If you don't have the proper devotion, you're not qualified for Bhagavatam. And therefore, all these other things are presented and you can look at those things and get enamored with those things. And you won't get the right conclusion. So the message is that, yes, the Lord is hidden in all levels, from the materialists because they're in Maya and they can't see the Lord in the heart, and from the Gyanis because they get stuck in Brahman. And therefore the Lord is not willing to show himself. And for the yogis who may see Paramatma, still they cannot see Bhagavan. And even if we see Bhagavan, we may not see Krishna. So we have many people in India, they worship their Vaishnavas, but they can't appreciate Krishna. They only appreciate Vishnu, and they say Krishna is an avatar, Vishnu only an expansion, temporary manifestation in the material world. And ultimately only Narayan exists in the spiritual world. That's the final conclusion. So they don't appreciate, even if they're Vaishnavas. So Therefore, this idea of Krishna in the spiritual world is, and in its pastimes, this is quite unique. And only select people will accept this and appreciate this. And this, of course, is the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he is brought to us. A very, very special message. So we should understand this. When we read the Bhagavatam, therefore, we should understand that this is one method used, but we should not be bewildered by it and appreciate why it is done. And in this way, we can solve all the apparent contradictions that are there in the Bhagavatam as well. Ultimately, everything has a reason for being there, and the Supreme Lord is perfect, Krishna is perfect, but it may look like there's contradictions. So that is because we don't understand. And Krishna may hide certain things from people in the material world. So for the devotee, this becomes available. That is for the devotee who accepts Supreme Lord Krishna, and it becomes very accessible to us through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By his mercy, we're able to accept. So we know that Lord Chaitanya is called Mahavadanya, which means very generous. So of course he is generous because he gives out prema. But all forms of God do that. Whether it's Narsimha or Ram or whatever, they all give out prema. So what is so special? And Krishna gives out prema also. So what is so special about Lord Chaitanya giving out prema? So one speciality, of course, is he's trying to get everybody, even the unqualified people, the demons and the atheists and the Mayavadis and everybody. He wants to give out prema to them, even though generally it's hidden from them. So in that sense, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. The other aspect is that not only he's merciful in that way, but he's merciful because he wants to give out not just love of God and prema, but he wants to give out Krishna prema. Of all the forms of God, Krishna is the most rare. And not only wants to give out Krishna prema, he wants to give out Radha prema, the highest form of relationship with the Lord in Madhurya Rasa. He wants to give out that also. So that is why Lord Chaitanya is called most generous, because he gives the highest, 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 highest position. And he wants to give that to the people who are unqualified in the material world. And how does he do it? Of course, his power as Supreme Lord is there. And through the Mahamantra, the name of the Lord. So that is why we have Hare Krishna. Is not just the name of the Lord. It's also the name of Radha. Because we have Hare as Radha. So therefore, within the Hare Krishna mantra, we have that highest concept of Radha Krishna. And this is given out to everybody in the material world. Even the demons get it. They can also hear it. So this is quite remarkable. Even though Bhagavatam, Sukadeva is trying to hide everything from the unqualified people by saying merge in Brahman, this is the ultimate. Still, Lord Chaitanya is giving out Radha and Krishna, the highest aspect of Krishna. Not just Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, but Krishna in his highest aspect, he's giving out to everybody in the material world through Hare Krishna mantra. So very, very remarkable. So how is it possible? Generally not possible. So that is why this is a very, very rare opportunity. When Lord Chaitanya comes, because of his mercy, then it becomes possible. That Radha Krishna is accessible to the people of the material world. Otherwise not. Even Krishna appears and performs his pastimes in Vrindavan. Then he disappears. Nobody can understand. So it's often said in Bhagavatam that Krishna is like Manushya. Vidambanam. It looks so much human that people think he's human. And they think, how can he be Supreme Lord? Because he's so human. Normal people in the world become bewildered. Not only normal people, Brahma becomes bewildered. And he also thinks, Krishna's only an ordinary person. I thought he was God because, you know, Vishnu, we prayed to Vishnu, and then Vishnu said, I'm coming in the material world, and then he appears from Vasudeva and Devaki, like that. So we know he's supposed to be the Supreme Lord. And then Brahma sees Krishna after he killed Agasura. He came down. And then he saw Krishna. And he was very surprised because Krishna was only a little boy. He didn't look like God. And not only that, he was eating food with both hands. And he had food all over his body. And he's throwing food at his friends. And they were throwing food at him. So I thought, how can he be God? This is an ordinary child playing around with some other kids and smearing food all over the place. How can he be God? Because Brahma is used to Vishnu forms, and, you know, he's on this lotus, and he gets a vision of Vishnu and Vaikuntha and things like that. And Brahma Loka, there's a form of the Lord, and they offer sacrifice to him, and they offer prayers of the Vedas to him, and he accepts their offerings. So they're using mantras and Vedas, etc., to worship him, and he accepts their offerings that way. But then Krishna's just eating food with his friends. How is that possible? So then he also doubts, how can this be God? It looks like a normal human being. So that's Brahma. After he knows that he's God, still he doubts. And the same with Indra. So Indra also thought, how can this Krishna, he's interfering with sacrifices and doing all this, how can he be the Supreme Lord? Because the Lord comes to protect Dharma and to support sacrifices. And here Krishna's telling all Nanda Maharaj, stop the sacrifice to Indra and stop all the sacrifices and just worship Govardhan Hill. This isn't Vedic. So in this way, even Devatas and Lord Brahma become bewildered by the nature of Krishna. They cannot understand what to speak of common people in this material world. So as we know, people in the material world will read Bhagavatam, and many of them will say, oh, this looks like Krishna's a normal human being. And therefore, they conclude maybe it's a historical personality, sometime 5,000 years ago, and that's it. You know, and then they exaggerated a little bit and gave him 16,108 queens and whatever like this, exaggerated everything a little bit, and therefore they worship him as God. And so he's actually a human being. And so, difficult to understand Krishna. But Krishna arranges that after he appears, once in the day of Brahma, in the 28th yuga cycle in Vaivasvata Manvantara, once in the day after Krishna appears, then Lord Chaitanya appears. So Lord Chaitanya's function is to make that Krishna accessible to the people once in the day of Brahma. So he's very merciful, and he gives out holy name. And through that process, we're able to understand the real nature of Krishna. So this is the rarity of the Bhagavatam. So it is through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that we're actually able to access this, in spite of the fact that we're very unqualified. And ultimately, we'll end up like, at the end of the Bhagavatam, we come to that conclusion, we'll think, oh, yes, the purpose is to merge in Brahman, we may get caught there. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the words of Sukadeva Goswami become accessible to us. And we can pierce that secret and find out the real thing. But that is the mercy of Lord. That's why he is so merciful, or Vadanya, most generous, because he allows us entrance into the highest aspects of Krishna's pastimes in the material world. So here the people, it describes here, people can't even realize the Paramatma form, not even what to speak of Bhagavan. Even Paramatma form was right next to you. Jiva's here, Paramatma's right next to you. Even that they can't recognize, people in the material world. Very, very difficult. So what to speak of Bhagavan, what to speak of Krishna, what to speak of Krishna and Madhurya Rasa, and what to speak of Krishna with Radha. Impossible. Yet, Lord Chaitanya makes it possible for everybody in the material world to get through his mercy and the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So this is a rare opportunity for everybody. So we should go through Bhagavatam and understand the real meaning of what Sukadeva Goswami is saying, and appreciate the rarity of everything. Though not everything is about directly about Krishna, because we'll see so many, all the different 10 topics are there, like Sarga and Visarga and Stana, etc. 10 topics are there. One is Asraya, that is all about Krishna in the 10th canto, and the rest of the cantos are about other things. So then we may think, well, why we should study that at all, since it's all there to bewilder the Mayavadis and the Karma Yogis and everything else. Why should we study it all? No. Vishnu Chakravarti says, the whole thing is Bhagavatam. It is all spoken by Sukadevi Goswami. So how do we see all this stuff in relation to Krishna? Yes. Though Krishna is this form, highest form, still, we should understand his relationship with the material world. So therefore, these other topics are there, like Sarga and Visarga and Stana, etc. So this is how the Lord relates to the material world. There are aspects of Krishna also. Yeah? And then within this material world, Krishna makes his appearance and he displays his pastimes. So the devotee realizes everything in relation to the Lord. All the different topics and all the different processes that are mentioned are only in relation ultimately to the Supreme Lord and the process of bhakti. So in that sense, we can appreciate them. So in this way, that should be our approach to studying and hearing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, we don't become bewildered like these people here that are in the material world, completely bewildered. So we have to understand things through the line of the cyclic succession, and then we get the clear truth. And that cyclic succession comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was very merciful to us. So in this way, we get the opportunity to get the highest truth of all. So it goes beyond this Paramatma form. It goes all the way to the top of ultimate form of Bhagavan in the spiritual world. Okay. Any question?
Can you say that Sukadeva Goswami loves Krishna so much, and then Radharani, he doesn't mention him, Radharani's name in Bhagavan?
This is another indirect thing. Yeah? Yeah. The highest secrets cannot be revealed, so therefore Sukadev does not reveal Radha directly, but of course indirectly, through the certain verses we can see the meaning. And not only that, not only Radha, but all the Sakis are also there. Different Sakis are there, and but only the Acharyas are able to pick out which verse is spoken by which Saki, even in the Bhagavatam, but it's there. So yes, this is another way in which things are not directly revealed or completely revealed. All the avatars, of course Krishna's not avatar, he's called Avatari, because he is Swayam Bhagavan and he is the source of all the avatars, but we can say he appears in the material world, he's avatar in a sense. But all of the avatars have fixed periods of their appearance. Their form is fixed, their qualities are fixed, their activities are fixed, the names are fixed, and the times are fixed. So there's no room for speculation. So in the first canto and second canto, there's lists of the different avatars mentioned, and they all have particular periods in which they will appear in the material world and do certain activities and have certain forms. And we can't go beyond that and say there's more avatars. So Krishna also has his particular fixed period. So in the day of Brahma, we have 14 big periods, one day of Brahma. It's divided into 14, just like we have hours, 12 hours in our day or whatever. There are 14 divisions in one day of Brahma. And then there's a night, and then there's nothing there. But there's 14 divisions in the day of Brahma in his 12 hours. And, of course, that's 1,000 yuga cycles of 4 million odd years each. So 4,300,000 times 1,000 is one day. Divide by 14, what do you get? 71 point something. So 71 point something yuga cycles is one section. It's called a manvantara. So there's 14 of these manvantaras in one day of Brahma. And each manvantara also has a avatar ruling for that whole 71 yuga cycles. So in our present yuga cycle, the avatar ruling the whole period of 71 yuga cycles, this is Vaivasvata manvantara, is Vamanadev. He resides now in Sutala Loka. So, there are, I said, 14 of them. The first one is Svayambhuva. And then gradually we come up one after the other. And then we come to sixth one is Chakshusha Manvantara. Seventh one is Vaivasvata Manvantara. So, this is 7 out of 14. So, it's kind of in the middle of the day of Brahma. Yeah? So, there are 71 yuga cycles in Vaivasvata Manvantara. So, after 28 of those cycles, that is when Krishna appears in the Dwarpa Yuga. Rama appears in Vaivasvata Manvantara in 24th cycle. So 16 million years previously. Parsaram appears in the 22nd cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara, which is even further back, another 8 million years or whatever back. So in this way, Krishna is fixed at that particular plan. Next day of Brahma, after when 7th Manvantara comes, Vaivasvata Manvantara, 28th cycle, then Krishna appears again in Dwarpa Yuga. And every time Krishna appears, Lord Chaitanya appears in Kali Yuga. So normally in Kali Yuga, the avatar is black. And we have Sukla, Rakta, Shama, Krishna. And white avatar, red avatar, Shama avatar, and black avatar, Krishna. But it's not Krishna, Swayambhava Krishna. It's just the expansion of the Manvantara avatar, usually. But when Lord Krishna comes in the Dwarpa Yuga, in the 28th cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara, then in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya appears as Pita, yellow color or golden color. So only when Krishna comes, then after that in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya comes. And that's only in the 28th cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara, every day of Brahma. Yeah, so the first step is we cannot preach to the faithless people. That's the ninth offense. Because it's hidden from them. They're not qualified for it. So how do we preach to them? The name can be given out to everybody. Everybody can hear the name of Krishna. We cannot preach to them, but we can let them hear the name. Okay? So the first step is to let everybody hear. And of those people who hear, when they constantly hear, they can get faith or shraddha. When they get faith, then you can preach to them. So first step in preaching is let them hear a name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. After a while, they get a little faith, then you can speak to them and tell them about Krishna and chanting and whatever, all this. Of course, if the beginning, they may have faith also. So in that case, we can directly preach to them. Some people may have a little faith already from the very beginning, but if they're completely negative, then we can't. That's the only method we can do. If they're neutral, then very easily they can develop faith and we can preach to them much quicker. Yeah, it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita there that he has a form in the spiritual world also. Yeah? We have Goloka at the top, and then below that we have Ayodhya and Dwarka. Goloka is at the top, and we have Mathura and Dwarka up there also. And then we have, I think, Ayodhya is up there, and then we have Jagannath is up there also. Puri Dham in the spiritual world is also up there. It's somewhere. I forgot whether it's probably above Ayodhya. Well, I forgot where. Then it was a sequence there above Ayodhya. Well, it's like Lord Chaitanya himself was in Sri Rangam for 4 months. He didn't convince them. Well, he actually convinced Gopal Bhatta. He became a devotee. He was a son, one of the sons there. And Prabhunan Saraswati, I think. But generally, it's very difficult once they're fixed in one particular mode of worship as Vaishnava. It's difficult for them to change at a certain point in general. But anything is possible by association and exposure to the holy name. They may change if they're not so much fixed. In our sampradaya, yes, we worship Radha Krishna. There's another sampradaya also that worships Radha Krishna. It's the Nimbarka sampradaya. They also worship Radha Krishna. The Vallabha sampradaya, of course, the Shiva sampradaya, Vallabha Charya, they also worship Krishna, but not Radha. They worship Radha. So their main mood is Krishna as a child, so it's more Vatsalya Rasa than not Madhurya Rasa. But the Vallabhas, or the Nimbarkas, they also worship Radha Krishna, so it's also Madhurya. As far as I know, it is not Parakya, it is only Svakya Rasa. So they're also Radha Krishna worshippers. But of course, the Sampradaya is not very big, also, it's not so prevalent.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
He's all in advance, Maharaj.